Creating greater clarity in a confusing world. Visualizing a path to greater performance. Developing high-performing teams. Discovering the next breakthrough idea. This is the Marshall Advisory Group Podcast.
Hi, I'm Doug Haupt. I'm sitting with Kevin Marshall, President, CEO of Marshall Advisory Group. Here's what I want to ask you. Organizational health. I see on your website you talk about how you can help companies with their organizational health. What does that term mean?
It's something that we've talked about with CEOs for really decades. And in many cases, historically, it's been the softer side of the business. It's been considered perhaps less relevant to top line or bottom line performance. And yet recent studies and a lot of attention is being paid that show thousands of case studies where companies that are doing well on what we would call the performance disciplines. That might be things you'd learn in business school: sales, marketing, public relations, operations, finance, accounting, IT. Companies that do well there but fail to do well on the human team side of the business, they don't do as well as a like competitor who's similarly strong on the performance disciplines but does much better on the human side. In fact, the McKinsey Group has done thousands of case studies, and they basically say that somewhere between a 2 to 7 times multiple for those organizations that that do better on the organizational health side. Specifically, if I am going to be doing work that generates $1 million, if I do it with a team that's performing well, I can expect that to be 2 to 7 million. So there's a big, significant dollar difference. Plus, there's a lot of difference just in terms of retention, turnover, happiness, wholeness of life. And so the organizational health discipline and the work that we do there is really focused on that side of the business. And it's fascinating. There's a lot of new science there, and we're seeing some good traction working with organizations.
Would you say that most of the time organizations will focus on the performance side? Right?
That's true. And it's easier because we can set our marketing goals, we can set our sales goals, or we can understand our operational costs. And historically, we've been trained to do that. There are some people who are innately good. I worked growing up with a small company where the owner was innately good at the human dynamics side of the business. That it didn't understand that that's what he was doing. And yet, we were a little grocery store, and we outperformed other grocery stores. By far, people still talk about this little independent grocery store because of the fact that people love to come in and experience the team. People love, sometimes they say they love to go to Chick-fil-A because of the disciplines that they put in place to make that happen. So it's important. And so we tend, however, to focus on those performance disciplines and not as much on the organizational health side.
Mm-hmm. And the performance ones are more measurable, probably, right?
Well, they can be. One of the challenges that organizations have is how do you measure, how do you even define what's on the other side of that ledger? If I have on the left side of a ledger these performance disciplines, and on the right side of that ledger I've got organizational health disciplines, how do I even segment those? And it takes some time to think through that, but there's a fairly simple way of looking at what we would say are 9 different aspects of organizational health, and how do you assess your performance, if you will, in this organizational health side. One example might be, how well are we doing at setting a clear vision, compelling vision, that our employees are following? Do they feel like they're a part of that? Do they see a clear, concise strategy that's going to get us to achieving that vision? And we would call that direction. How are we doing in terms of providing direction to our employees, and are they a part of that? And there are 9 different aspects of that organizational health that we measure, and we've helped companies figure out how they're doing. We give them a scorecard, and then year over year they could do a remeasurement to determine if in fact they're moving in the right direction or if they still have challenges that they need to face.
Now, would you say one of the things that this makes me think about is the workforce coming up, or younger people are oftentimes very concerned with the issues that we're talking about with organizational health, meaning the younger workforce is looking for satisfaction at work besides just a high-paying job and and success within a company. They're looking for deeper things. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. Doug, I came across a quote in a recent article that was brought to my attention. And I want to read you this quote, and then you can tell me when you think it was written.
Okay.
It goes like this. Because all the peoples of the world are part of one electronically-based intercommunicating network, young people everywhere share a kind of experience that none of the elders ever had. This break between generation is wholly new. It is planetary, and it's universal. So that would sound to you like
written
our
yesterday.
Current millennials.
It was written yesterday, yeah. Yes.
This was written by a cultural anthropologist, Margaret Mead, in 1970. Mm. Now, the point is, we believe, and there's lots of discussion today about the challenge of managing millennials. And the point that this particular article that came across my desk is saying, this is something that we have dealt with as long as there have been older and younger employees.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, today's millennial generation has access to all kinds of social media avenues where they can have and hold on to their opinions. The old school hierarchical management system where bosses reported to bosses and everyone took direction, that is not as as structured, much more of a fluid, matrixed organization. But the challenge is today and has been for decades, how do we harness the new energies of our younger workers in a way that it brings them into alignment with what the organization is doing, and has them be a part of our success.
So that's not just for today. You were describing your grocery store, and so you were the young employee that they harnessed and made into a team that brought people in and kept them in.
Absolutely.
And that was the early 30s. No, I'm just kidding. Kevin's not that old. I just had to pick on him a little bit. So historically, there's been years ago, so organizational health isn't new, I guess is what I'm saying.
It's not new, but it is gaining a new level of attention.
Or definition.
With leaders, and certainly definition. We've begun to think of it more systematically than we have in the past. We might have thought, in smaller organizations, we'll leave that to our HR professionals. Or in larger organizations, we'll have our labor relations specialists who will deal with keeping the labor workforce engaged. More and more, it's becoming the C-level CEO and COO operational responsibilities,
right,
to also think about the human aspect. And in fact, it really is more and more the sustainable advantage, mm-hmm, that organizations will have in today's and future marketplaces.
So if you have two companies and they both are really good on the performance side, they've really got that knock, they have a great product, they have a great system, they have a great, all of that, the one who's going to be more successful will have a healthy organization.
Certainly studies prove that.
Yeah. Why is it hard to create a healthy organization? Obviously, everybody would say, well, a lot of people, I think, would say, well, yeah, we have that, but they don't.
It's our experience when we talk to executives and CEOs and organizations is they know if they have challenges. They might tend to give excuses for it, but usually the organizations that we talk to, they're aware of the challenges they have on the human and the team performance side. Why is it hard? It takes time, and it takes attention. It's a little harder to measure, and it also is one of the things that requires consensus. So for us to get to the place where our team is performing at a high level, we have to pay attention to what the team thinks.
We actually have to act like a team.
What is interesting?
If we
want
to make a team,
absolutely,
we have to act like a team.
Right. And so what makes this interesting, though, is the advantage that you have, a high-performing, organizationally healthy company. That's a sustainable advantage. I was mm-hmm, chatting with you earlier about a trip through McDonald's recently. I like going to Chick-fil-A, and I use them as an example in a lot of our discussions because they have worked hard to develop a culture where if you pull through a Chick-fil-A, you're going to have somebody who's happy taking your order, and they're going to end every interaction with you with "my pleasure." And there's certain disciplines that they have put in place. Yesterday, I was driving through a McDonald's,
mm-hmm,
and I was surprised when I heard the lady who took my order end with "my pleasure." And so I drove up wondering what the experience would be like at the actual window. Found it interesting that even though they emulated some of the dialogue that I might find in a Chick-fil-A, they didn't emulate the culture. And so as a result, it fell flat. It's difficult mm-hmm. to it's difficult to imitate culture. So culture does take a while to build, but it is a much more sustainable advantage in today's marketplace where people can copy and replicate process and product faster and faster and faster.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Chick-fil-A. Are there other organizations that you think of that you would say have really done a great job in organizational health?
We work with a lot of different organizations. Our particular firm has experience in corporate and nonprofit industry, large business and small business. And certainly, we can tell very quickly when we go into an organization when there's a high-performing team and when there's a team that's really inhibited because of the poor organizational health or some aspect of that. Without naming names on a podcast, there are good ones and there are bad ones. I think it's self-evident to any customer or client or vendor or supplier when they're working with an organization that has a high-performing team, a good organizational health.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why it really does matter. It does have an impact on business.
You mentioned nonprofits. One might assume nonprofits are people who have a shared vision and a passion for something. But they need organizational health too. I mean, right?
Actually, it's interesting.
Maybe more so.
Perhaps. Whether you're a corporation or a nonprofit, different objectives drive the focus and the outcomes. Typically, in the nonprofit, there's a mission that tugs at the heart. Some service, something you're trying to do to promote welfare and well-being in the society. Something, whether it's a faith-based organization or a nonprofit in the arts or in the humanities or human services. Those particular missions are typically heavy burdens. As a result, those organizations might tend to become pretty task-focused. And sometimes when that happens, we lose focus on the team and the health of the team. Some of the nonprofits have high turnover and some pretty difficult situations. Organizational health is not presumed to be good in corporate or nonprofit industries. We find all flavors in all places.
Right. Well, and in nonprofits, oftentimes, with what if I was hearing you correctly, the idea that these are oftentimes critical issues, they're heavy issues.
Yes.
I've worked with some people who are involved in ministries, and they have something that they call compassion fatigue.
Yes.
And so it's the idea of constantly pouring out for other people. So perhaps organizational health is even more important in those areas where people are literally pouring out or serving.
It poured out to
others.
The community, and they have nothing left for the team that's working on the mission.
So you need to have a team that can sustain itself and be really healthy.
That's true. Yeah.
All right, we're almost out of time here, but I have one last question. What do you do at Marshall Advisory Group to help a company who maybe says we may need help with organizational health?
Sure. Yeah. Well, in our four practice areas: strategic planning, process improvement, organizational health, and structured innovation. Organizational health is the practice area that focuses on that right side of that ledger, and our services in that area can be as high level as workshops, where we address some of the issues that may be challenging. Mm-hmm. Many organizations have issues with trust, organizational trust, individual trust, team trust. How do they handle difficult communication issues where perhaps there's going to be some conflict? Can it be constructive conflict or is it destructive conflict? So we do workshops with organizations, something as simple as that. So organizations that want to take this seriously may choose to do something that's a little bit more exhaustive, and that is to truly do an organizational health assessment, looking at each of those nine dimensions. We just touched on the fact that there were nine. We talked about one of the nine in the early part of our conversation. But to understand and get a true assessment of where they're strong, are they, what's their grade,
right,
in organizational health on each of those nine dimensions, and then create a specific program to find areas of weakness and how they improve that, how they bring that along. And even at a high level, a discussion of which of those nine do they truly need to excel, depending upon the type of business they are in, to be most successful.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like an assessment would be a good idea, because no matter how involved leadership or a CEO is in a company, or they think they have their finger on the pulse of exactly what's going on, oftentimes they're making assumptions that aren't correct.
They know full well that there are problems. They just don't know how to quantify them, how to identify them, and how to improve them.
I think every company would go, yeah, we could be better at communication, or we could be better at this or that. But if there are some other areas they might not even know about that an assessment could bring out, that might be a higher priority.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like I want to get fit, so what do I do? Well, I need to eat right, I need to do exercise, I need
sure.
to get sleep. Which is my priority? What am I going to do first? And that way my body's going to get healthy.
Sure. And a systematic way of understanding where you are healthy, where you're not healthy, and how you can become more healthy. That's what we bring to the table.
Well, thanks so much.
Thanks
for joining us in the Marshall Advisory Group podcast on organizational health.
Thank you for listening to the Marshall Advisory Group podcast. To learn more, go to www.marshalladvisory.com.